J. Michael Edwards, back for the 48th time. I hope you have enjoyed the Majestic Academy's presentation of the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. This book is meant to be read and read and understood. Yes, some people continue to believe that this fantastic book is simply a bunch of metaphors and filled with lots of symbolism, but certainly not a literal view of future events. I believe they may be in for a surprise someday. Today's episode deals with a wonderful place called heaven in a lesson entitled, Some Call It Heaven, But I Call It Home. Bibles open, pencils ready, and let's join Pastor Don.
For the 48th time, thank you, J. Michael Edwards. He only has to do that one more time. I'll tell you, he's earned his pay of all these months doing this. Welcome back. Welcome back into the Majestic Academy. Glad to have you here. There's been, I'll tell you, a lot of folks started out listening to this, but the numbers dwindled down. I don't know if they just didn't like my raspy voice or just what it was, but I'm glad you're here. Welcome back. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Let's start here. This is a great episode. I'm going to read some scripture here. Buckle up, because it's going to be a bit. Take your Bibles, if you will, if you've got those with you, Revelation 21, verses 5 through 27, and then we're going to go right into Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Bible says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was light unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gate, on the north gate, on the south, three gates. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is at large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length, and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardius, the seventh a chrysolite, the eighth a beryl, the 9th a topaz, the 10th a chrysophras, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then Revelation 22:1-5 says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. That's a long time, forever and ever. So in our last study, we began a survey of a place called heaven. Of course, we all know that heaven is more than just a place. Heaven is the home of Almighty God. It is the home of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the glorious land where the redeemed of the ages spend eternity. It is the place where we all long to go. Of course, if you listen to most folks talk, you will find that we aren't as anxious to get to heaven as we sometimes claim. When sickness comes, we try everything we can to stay here as long as we can. We call on the doctor. We call on the church to pray for healing. We call on the Lord to help us get better. We love this life, and we want to stay here. And that's understandable. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am looking forward to going home. So let's take our journey into our future today. Let's try to wrap our minds around what the Bible has to say about a place called heaven. As we do, let's remember that while we may call it heaven right now, one day, praise God, we're going to call it home. That is a thought I want to magnify today. Let's consider the wonders of that city. As we touch on the thought of some call it heaven, but I call it home. And so we see the gates of the city. The Lord begins this section of Scripture by reminding us that he is still in control and that he is about to make everything brand new. As soon as he makes that promise, the Lord says, "It is done." With that simple statement, God pronounces an end to this world with all its turmoil and strife, and he proclaims the beginning of that new world with all its glory and splendor. Before he shares the wonders of heaven with us, the Lord first reveals the gates of the city. These are not physical gates that can be shut to keep people in or out. After all, the gates of heaven will never be shut. These are the true gates of the city, for it is these gates which determine who enters and who does not. And so verses 6 and 7 talks about who the gates permit. These gates permit those who have taken the water of life. They permit those who are overcomers. This is a clear statement that heaven is open only to those who are in a personal faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, he is the water of life. And it is our faith in him that makes us overcomers. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Get that song, faith is a victory, faith is a victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. That's where that song comes from, right there. Those who enter heaven will enjoy a perfect inheritance, Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Wow, I mentioned that in our last lesson. We are joint heirs with God. Wow. And we have profound intimacy with our Heavenly Father. In very simple terms, the gate of heaven is to... the gate to heaven is the Lord Jesus. He is the door into life in John 10:9. To believe on him by faith is to be saved, John 14:6. To reject him is to be cast into hell, John 8:24. And so the gate permits those of us who are born again. Let's just make it real simple right there. Those of us who are born again. And verse 8 talks about who the gates will prohibit. Some people will not be allowed to enter that city, but they will be sent away to the lake of fire. We examined those people in our last lesson, so we won't go over that again. And then we see the glories of the city. Having told us how to enter the city of heaven, John now writes some of the details of that place called heaven. We see the city's distinction. This earth and every city and home on it require some source of light. If it were not for the sun, the moon, and for lighting systems developed by men, this world would be nothing but a dark tomb. Heaven, on the other hand, is brilliantly lit by the glory of God himself. John described the city as being like a jasper stone. The jasper stone is what we call a diamond today. The city will be like a great diamond in appearance as it reflects and refracts the light of the glory of God. Imagine a world where the glory of God is on display. Think of Moses when he came down from that mountain. They had to put a veil over his face after looking not at God, just at his glory. They had to put a veil over his face. His face shone as the sun. The city is surrounded by a gleaming high wall. There are 12 gates in this wall, each gate attended by an angel. These gates have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed on them. The wall of this great city rests on 12 foundations named after the 12 apostles. Wow, that'll be a great city. We see the dimensions. The angel, an angel having a golden reed, comes to measure the city. A reed is about 10 feet in length, so this measuring would have taken some time. We are told that the city is built like a square at the bottom. It is of equal lengths on all sides. We are told that the city measures 12,000 furlongs on each side, and that is as tall as it is long as it is wide. 12,000 furlongs translates to about 1,400 miles. This city is astounding in its size. If one edge was placed on the Atlantic Ocean, the opposite edge would sit near Denver, Colorado. If the north edge of the city sat on the Canadian border, the other edge would sit somewhere around Miami, Florida. That is one big town. It is even more amazing to consider that it is also 1,400 miles high. Consider that an airplane, what, flies at about 5,000 feet, something like that, 5,000 miles, 5,000 feet, 5,000 miles or something like that, and 1,400 miles high, I'm sorry, 5 miles high, not five, I say 5,000, 5 miles high, the city is 1,400 miles high. The city is surrounded by a wall that measures 144 cubits. This is 216 feet. This could refer to the height or could refer to the thickness of the wall. Imagine a city where there is room for all, where there is no ghettos, no mean streets, no wrong side of town. Imagine a city where absolute beauty and sinless perfection. As you can imagine that, then you can imagine home. The city's design. In these next few verses, John describes the materials used to construct the city. He tells us that the wall is made of a diamond, and the city is made of pure, transparent gold. He also tells us that the city rests on a foundation that is loaded with precious stones. Imagine, if you will, a city that gleams with the brilliance of God's glory. Imagine that pure light as it shines through the diamonds, the gold, and all the multicolored precious stones mentioned in those verses. What a heavenly city. It's going to be a glorious sight to behold. The gates of that city are made of pearls. The pearl, as you know, is formed out of pain. A grain of sand is trapped in an oyster. That sand irritates the oyster, and the oyster begins to build up a layer of layers and layers and layers of calcium around that grain of sand. After a long while, a pearl is formed. The pearl is the only gemstone made by a living organism. The pearl is the oyster's answer to its pain. These gates will remind that while salvation and the heaven it provides are free, neither was cheap. Everything we have was born out of pain, the pain of our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Every time we enter that city, we will be reminded of the price He paid to redeem our souls. Heaven is the Lord's answer to the pain of His cross. Even the streets of heaven will be glorious to behold. We will walk about on a street that is paved with the purest and purest of gold. What a city that awaits the redeemed when this life is over. I hope you're going there with me. I hope you are. It's going to be fantastic. And then we see the guarantees of this city. As we move through these remaining verses, even more of the wonders of heaven are displayed for us to consider. These verses tell us some of the things that will be there and some of the things that will not be there. Let's consider the guarantees of the city. The guarantee of a new relationship. When we arrive in heaven, our relationship with God will be forever altered. There will be a new interaction. Today we worship the Lord in churches and temples constructed by the hands of men. We are not allowed to approach Him because we are separated from Him by this flesh and by our sin. We come before God through the agency of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God, the man, Christ Jesus." In that day, there will be no need for temples and no need for mediators. We will have direct face-to-face access with God Himself. Revelation 21 verse 3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." What a day, what a day that will be. Again, I want to sing that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. And then there will be a new intimacy. We will see His face. His name will be written on our foreheads. We will serve Him in perfection of righteousness and holiness. We cannot do that today. Too many things come between us and the Lord. Too many things hinder our service to Him. Too many things destroy our intimacy with Him. None of those things will hinder us in glory. We will enjoy perfect intimacy with our Father, our Savior, and with the Holy Spirit. We see the guarantees of new realities. Not only will our relationship with the Lord be changed, so will many of the things we have grown used to in this world. We see the glory of the city. We have already commented on this thought, but we are reminded that heaven will be filled with the glory of God Himself. The same God who stood in absolute darkness and said, "Let there be light," will fill our home with His brilliance and glory. We see the gates of the city. Those pearly gates will never be closed. The perfected people who live on the earth will come in and out of the New Jerusalem, and being with them, the bounty produced by this new earth. Apparently, after the earth is replenished and sin is defeated, humans will inhabit the earth and will live as Adam and Eve were intended to live. They will produce children and enjoy life in a perfect world. It will be an amazing time when men, angels, glorified saints, and the Godhead come together in that great city. You see the grandeur of that city. These verses give us a glimpse of a few of the sights of that city. These few thoughts here reveal the grandeur of our heavenly home. We see a river. A pure crystal river flows from God's throne. The throne is a source of life, and the river that flows from it is symbolic of that kind of life it delivers. That heavenly city is a place of peace, a place of prosperity, and a place of pleasure. It is a perfect place. This river is filled with the water of life. It is symbolic of the unending flow of everlasting life given to all those who have believed in Jesus. There is life flowing from the throne to all who will believe. And then we see the tree of life. In the New Jerusalem, man will have access to the tree of life. When Adam sinned in Eden, he was removed from that place to prevent him from eating the fruit of the tree of life and thus living forever in his fallen condition. In heaven, access to the tree of life will be restored. This amazing tree will yield its precious fruit each month of the year. It will bear 12 types of fruit throughout the year. This reminds us that heaven will be a place of plenty. Obtaining food has always been one of man's chief occupations. In heaven, the tree of life will always bear its fruit. We are told that the leaves of the tree will be used for the healing of the nations. This does not mean that people in the day will get sick. As we saw in Revelation 21, verse 4, sickness and disease are banished from heaven. The word translated healing gives us our word therapeutic. It literally means services rendered to another. In other words, the leaves of the tree will serve to enhance our lives in eternity. They will make our life there even more pleasant. And then verse 3 of chapter 22, we see that the curse will be removed. There will be no more curse. When man sinned, the ground was cursed, and man was forced to grow his food by the sweat of his brow. Part of the curse also involved the presence of weeds and thorns that would make man's job harder. The curse brought sickness, violence, chaos, and death to this world. In eternity, this curse is lifted. The earth will be restored to the perfect state it was in before sin entered. There will be no weeds, no thorns, no sickness, no violence, no war, and no chaos or death in the new world. The night will be banished. The darkness that haunts this world will be banished over there. There will be no more dark hours when the Prince of Darkness can do his wicked works. No one will need to light a candle to keep from stumbling. There will be no darkness of any sort in that land. No darkness, either physical or spiritual, will be allowed there. And then we see the guarantee of a new righteousness. In that perfect world, there will be nothing that can defile it. Nothing that can defile the perfect world will be allowed inside those gates. There will be no sin, no Satan, and no sinners. Only those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus and justified by God of heaven will be allowed into that city. That truth right there makes heaven worth going to. I wish I could describe that place called heaven and give it the description it deserves. I do not possess the vocabulary or the intelligence or the insight to do that. But from what I've read about that place, it sounds like the place that I want to spend eternity. How about you? You can, if you come to know Jesus. If you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, once again, most every episode you've listened to, and I hope you're not getting tired of it, most every episode, I'm begging you to come to Him today. Be made ready for this place called heaven. I believe we're in the final stages of life here on earth, and I'm so looking forward to it. We're going to read the words in our next episode towards the end. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But if you do know him, if you do know him, come to him and thank him for what you have here and what is waiting for you there. Come to him today and renew your commitment to live for him until he comes to take you home. Come to him today and beg for the strength to witness to your family and friends and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know we say this, it's been said for thousands of years, the time is short. Things that are happening right now have never, ever happened on this planet. Go get your friends and invite them to receive Christ as Savior. Some years ago, a man who's in heaven now, Squire Parsons, wrote a song that goes like this. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Someone said, you can't go back home again. Squire Parsons, when I get there, is going to slap me. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Someone said, you can't go back home again. Things will not ever be as good as they have been. I've got news for you. When heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you'll know the best is yet to come. And here's the chorus. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it dreaming, let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. I'm looking forward to going home. How about you? One more episode. J. Michael is going to have epilogue here. Until we see you again in the Majestic Academy, keep looking up and listening for the shout.
J. Michael Edwards back for just about the final time. Have you ever wondered why God gives us just a sneak preview of heaven? I think it's because if God gave us the whole picture, we would all do everything we could to go there right now. Yes, heaven is a wonderful place. If you are saved, you will be heading there someday. If you are not a born-again child of God, your future lies in a terrible place called hell. Please, don't wait any longer. Call on Jesus today to be the Lord of your life. Get your friends and family to listen to this entire series beginning to end. They need to know the truth. In our final lesson, Pastor Don wraps this series up. Until then, keep looking up and listening for the shout.